Monday, April 8th, Eclipse Day. Here's what's coming up on the mayor's office.
The expectations were so high, Chinch, on Strasburg when he first came out, just like you said. And, you know, I think we thought we might see, a greater career as far as a body of work. But what we did see was when he was healthy, we did see greatness. And I'm in love. Chinchy, what's going on, brother?
Woo! What's going on, dude? Wow, man. What a weekend of baseball. Sean Casey debuted on a local New York major television show last night.
Yes.
Dude, you're blowing up, dude. You're like Mr. Yankee, dude. You might, like, there might be Sean Casey jersey that we're going to be giving away. It's going to wind up being worth a lot of money.
Well, that's what we need. We need the Yankee fans to, you know, we're giving away a Sean Casey number 72 jersey. We say it's Mantle and Jeter together equals Sean Casey as a coach and signed jersey. So, hey, you know, we can get the Yankee fans out here to subscribe and download. That's a good thing for all of us.
That's a good thing for all of us. Look, Stu came in hot today. Look,
what is wrong with Stu, dude?
Dude, he's just so excited. Macy can't run around that much, so he just attacks me all day long. right there. Anyway, but you know what Stu's fired up about is Giancarlo Stanton's absolute explosion of a home run. That was like the Roy.
Grand slam.
I am shocked the seams did not leave that baseball like the Roy Hobbs rainy line out, dude. That was amazing. We have a lot to talk about this Yankee game. You've been saying, though, let's start here. You've been saying from the beginning of the season, before the season, Giancarlo Stanton is going to be legit. He looks pretty good right now. Even after the slow start. Oh, my God. Run him out of town, by the way, in New York.
Right. G's got a lot of pride, man. You know, if there was nobody in last year that was more disappointed than Giancarlo Stanton, you want to talk about a guy that cares? He cares more than anybody. He really does. And it was eating at him inside. And what he did this offseason was he went down, dropped some weight, worked on his swing a little bit, got more athletic, came back to spring training, had a great spring, and he's carried it over. That was his third home run already, Chance. We're 10 games in, dude. That was his third home run. It was a grand slam. But the biggest thing was, on Saturday, he had a three-hit game. Now, he went deep, but he also hit a single to right and another rocket up the middle. And when you go back to Stanton, when he's had big years, Giancarlo Stanton's a great hitter. He's not just a power guy like he was last year. This guy can flat-out hit. So to see him get three hits on Saturday and come back and get that grand slam on Sunday was incredible. Chinch, the at-bat was great. He went down 0-2 early. We talked about Angel Hernandez. Ball up and in. G didn't like the call, but, you know, and then the next pitch he swung at, got down 0-2, worked it back to 2-2, and then he got a pitch middle in, dude, that he just absolutely hammered. It was so loud if you were watching the telecast, and it hit the second deck off the Poland Spring sign in the second deck to left. Just bam, bam. And what it made me think of, Chinch, was last year, dude, for me, playing with some of the best hitters of all time, Ken Griffey Jr., you know, one of the best home run hitters in Adam Dunn, one of the best hitters in David Ortiz, Gary Sheffield. I mean, some absolute studs. I mean, Jim Thome, Manny Ramirez, you know, some great players, man. One thing I learned playing with those guys that were big home run hitters, if you turned around, the sound off the bat was different, dude. The sound. Not where the flight went, but the sound. You could turn around and go, Ramirez, Ortiz, Griffey, Dunn, Thome. I felt that way last year with G, dude. Turn around, Stanton's hitting. And Judge. Stanton and Judge. Those guys are hitting. The ball is so loud. And I just thought it was incredible today when he hit that ball. I was like, that's the sound of a different player. And I believe that, you know, hopefully G comes back and has a great year this year because he's on the Cooperstown Highway, brother. He's got over 400 home runs.
Yes, I agree. He's on a Cooperstown highway. I think he gets a lot of crap for not being what is he supposed to be more than he is? Because he's great and he works hard and he's a gamer. You mentioned that. It's funny. I'm watching a broadcast here. Literally, you know, this is how it goes when you're broadcasting a game. Stay quiet. The announcer, Michael K, gives the call. What are you supposed to do? Give a little pause,
Yep, layout.
your reaction. Layout, then the reaction. Paul O'Neill's first sentence was, "Did you hear that ball? Did you hear him say that?" He said it on the. He
That's
goes,
right.
"Did you hear that ball?" That's Paul O'Neill, guys. That's Paul O'Neill, Yankees legend, red stud, like the warrior. Paul. He goes, "Did you hear that ball?" And for a professional, you just said it. Paul O'Neill said it on a broadcast. That tells you something about how hard. He hits a ball harder. If you look at the Statcast era, if Statcast had a Hall of Fame, he is number one. He's going in. He's first ballot Hall of Fame Statcast guy. Because
Yeah.
of how hard he hits a baseball.
Oh,
It's
he's a
difficult.
Statcast darling, dude. I mean, he hits
Oh,
the ball.
yeah.
Every time you look at, six balls have been hit 120 this year, more like
Yeah.
four by Giancarlo Stanton, two by Vlad Jr.
Yeah. Exactly.
And
Exactly.
Judge, and Judge. You know, I mean, it's like,
And
it's
Judge.
incredible. He
Well,
hits the
now.
ball harder than anybody.
Yeah. Well, now let me go backwards a little because I count the at bat, the count started kind of annoying because Angel Hernandez called a strike on a ball that was literally at Stanton's neck. An inning after your boy Boone got out there hot, dude, hot because Gleyber Torres, there was like a fault, maybe a timeout call, maybe not. He calls a strike on a ball that was, by the way, like 6 inches up anyway, called it a
Oh,
strike.
I missed it. Was it on Glaber?
Oh my God. Yeah. It took like 10 minutes to organize. Like, what did Angel just do? It wasn't even about like, oh, was it a strike? What's the ball? It's like, what did Angel do? How do we fix it? I gotta say, Sean, I don't like knocking people. Angel Hernandez is a story. And who are the best umpires in baseball? Who are the best refs in basketball? Who are the best refs in football? The guys you don't know their names. I know Angel Hernandez, the entire Yankee crowd, dude. And the Yankee crowds so far this year have been old school Yankee crowds screaming Bronx Bomber.
Yeah, there's an energy. There's an energy in the Bronx right now, man.
Angel sucks chance for an entire inning today, Sean. Now,
Jeez.
I'm not going to put you in a position to make this an awkward situation, but Angel Hernandez is a tough ump to have behind the plate. Am I wrong?
You know what? Listen, Angel's been around a long time. There's no doubt about it. I think one thing with a guy like Angel behind the dish, I always think about, Luis Gil was pitching today and got a couple balls off the plate. Angel was right. They were balls. But he kind of like, when you see young pitchers make gestures to veteran umpires, especially a guy like Angel doesn't put up with much, you're like, oh man, you better stop it because your strike zone's about to be a Dixie cup. That's what I always said. And it reminded me, dude, when you go back to Joe West is one of the best umpires ever. Like he was Joe West, angry Joe West, but Joe West was a great umpire, dude. And I used to love, as I got in the league more and you start to learn the umpires, dude, whenever I'd be out there and there'd be a young kid on the dish, I mean, on the bump, and he would throw a ball. It was close, maybe ball, maybe strike. And sometimes early on, I'd like to take a strike and it would be just maybe a strike, maybe off. He would call it a ball. And you'd see that guy do something like that, a young kid. Oh, where's that pitch? I'm like, yes. Yes. I'm like, this is three hits tonight, dude. I am not swinging outside. You're going to put a Dixie cup right down the middle, and it's going to have to come there for Joe West to call it a strike. So I'm just going to wait this guy out, make sure he gives me a pitch right down the middle. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's funny though. You know, times definitely have changed because strikes on the change. Do you remember? I'm gonna ask you a question. I better know the answer to it, but when you were a kid, and when I was a kid, and you took a close strike for strike three, but you knew it was a ball, and you walked back to the dugout, what did, and I'm talking about like the eighth grade dad would say,
Too close to take?
if it's close, you gotta swing. Right. Remember that? Remember that?
Yeah, too close to take. I
It
used to
was
hear
like,
Coach Atkins, my coach in college. Too close to take, Casey. I'm like, it's a ball.
yeah, It's funny because especially now being, you know, a Yankee fan and the Yankees are on in front of me all the time. It's like if Juan Soto doesn't swing, it's a ball. When we were kids, it's like if you didn't swing and a guy called a strike, it's like, hey, you know what? It was worth it like an inch. You got to swing. Be careful. It's like, it's a different industry than it was, I think, when we were kids, right?
Dude, I'll tell you what, when I see, you know, I'm watching a lot of Kent State baseball games with my son Jake, and like, dude, I 3-2, I'm like, you got to swing, dude. If it's 4 inches off the plate, take a rip because they're going to call you. It's going to be strike three, you know? Yeah,
exactly. Especially in these snow games you've been going to.
Oh, yeah. It was snowing the other day. Snowing. Yeah.
You're thinking, I'm just going to be like, oh, I'm just going to take my.
I'm yeah. saying strike three. Yeah, I want to get out of here. Hot chocolate time.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Hey, let's move on to a former, you know, where do you live in again? What town? What state?
Pennsylvania. Okay. Yeah, Pittsburgh, baby.
Okay, and who's the team that's there?
The Buccos. How about the Buccos?
There we go. What do you got?
Yeah. Did you ever think you'd be saying the Yankees and the Buccos? You'd be saying the Yankees are 8-2, but the Buccos are 8-2, two of the best records in the game. I mean, dude, they're playing good baseball. They're pitching, and they beat the Orioles 2 out of 3. It was a crazy game, though. Did you see the last play of the game?
Yes, unbelievable.
Baltimore, 100. Gunnar Henderson makes an incredible play, comes across, Taz second base. Now, interesting to see, if you watch this replay, Derek Shelton has been coaching, the staff's been coaching these guys with the rule that you slide right in. What they're saying now is stay standing up. So watch the replay. Rowdy Tellez comes in, never gets down. And if you go watch the replay, Gunnar Henderson tags the base, then has to throw around Tellez and throws it away. And that's how they end up losing the game. So I wonder, because, dude, we were taught, if you don't get down, you're going to wear one in the face. So I don't know what the rule is, but I guess you can come in standing up.
Why not?
That's what I'm saying. But, dude, aren't you risking getting one? I mean, if I'm serious, though. If I'm a shortstop, I'm putting one right in your chest.
Yeah, see, that was the old school thing back in the day, right? A second baseman, if you're coming in hard, Harold always said, he's like, I'm going down here to make you get down and get out of it.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny, the gamesmanship that's going on. That, as you say that, somebody was telling me the other day about, like, why Volpe's been so good at stealing bases. Think about this. You got a pitch clock out there. Like, this is how gamesmanship works, right? You try to find the edge. You know, Bill Belichick is the greatest in football. Anthony Volpe apparently has been looking at the clock, the pitch clock. So if the pitch clock gets down to 3 or 2, start running. Because if he hasn't thrown over to first yet, he's going to go. So guys who are stealing bases are looking at the pitch clock. And if it gets down to a certain point, go at 2 or go at 1. You know, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing you're saying. Oh, you know what? If I can't take him out, what if I just go in like this?
Yeah, dude, no. They weren't going like this. They're just standing up. He was just running, and it was just a huge body. And like you saw Henderson, you could tell he was rattled and threw around him and threw it away. It was interesting. But like I said, on the telecast, they said Shelton and these guys are teaching these guys at spring training. Could just come in standing up.
Yeah, why not? It's interesting. You gotta adapt with the rules and see if you can.
But you're right, Chance. We used to be so scared coming in. You're like, you're gonna wear one in the face.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah. I don't know. It's a changing game. It's an evolution. Listen, at the very beginning of the season, you know, the play at second base between the Mets and the Brewers becomes this controversial play when, by the way, that's the new rule and everything is what it is. So I guess everybody's adapting to it all. And
yeah.
It's fine. Now, moving further along, what else we got? So we got the Yankees on fire. Yeah.
How about the Mets really quick? A nice series win against the Red Legs. The Reds are a really good team. The Mets, you know, Lindor was like 1 for 35 coming into the game. Mm-hmm. Had a home run, had a double. So they won 3-1. So it's good to see that, you know, the Mets kind of getting going a little bit for Jess. For your wife, you know what I mean? We want Carlos Mendoza. Yeah. We like Jess, you know what I mean? We want the bills to be paid, the Chinchamino house, you know what I mean?
It's very true. It's
jeez.
Good bonus if you win a World Series.
Right? Yeah, exactly, dude. Exactly. And also, dude, how about Steven Strasburg retiring?
You know, I got to say, man, look, God bless the guy, man. He came in very similar to Bryce Harper. Like, he was – when this guy was 17 years old – It was like, here's Nolan Ryan. Here's our next Nolan Ryan. And just to give people context at home, we were launching MLB Network right around the exact same time that Steven Strasburg was going to be the first round, the first draft pick. Okay.
Yeah. Out of San Diego State.
Out of San Diego State. And it was a very, we showed the very first college highlight in MLB Network history. I did it that night. I'll never forget it. We took a feed of a college game because we needed to follow this kid. Because he is going to be Sandy Koufax, this guy, Cy Young, whatever. And listen, he was who he was as a player and as a person. And I respected that guy so much covering him over the years because he had the world on his shoulders. He never diverted from what he was and who he was and how he was and how he pitched and everything. And listen, at the very end of the day, the guy did some extremely electric things in baseball. His debut is maybe arguably the greatest debut in MLB.
He punched out 14 MLB. Pirates, right?
I was there. I was at the game.
Wow.
I was at the game. Me, Mike Connor were down there and like with a little
you guys covered it.
We covered it. I was in the booth. I was in the press box. It was me, Mike Connor, if you remember. And who's the guy that hosts that the show on ESPN with the five people up there? Tony Reale. The three of us, Tony Reale. And it was like, he was throwing so hard.
Tony Real used to work at MLB Network?
No, no, no. He was up there because he was down. DC is where they do that show.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right.
And we just happened to be standing next to him. I'm like, oh, this is cool. That's Tony Real. Standing next to him. Dude, he was throwing so hard that I think in the box, they tried to dress up the speed of the pitches on the Jumbotron. And his first pitch came down. I'll never forget this. I swear, Sean, on my life. The first pitch he threw, the gun on the Jumbotron said 104.5 miles per hour.
What?
And what I think they did at Nationals then.
It turned it up.
I think they jacked it up. Like, I think they were jacking it up. And then after that, it was still like 99, 98, 101 every once in a while. But that's how electric it was. One of the greatest. Dude, Bob Kotz is on a call. First ML, one of the biggest MLB Network showcase games, one of my biggest experiences I've ever had in my career. I got to meet him that day on his debut, and I was trying to stay out of his way. I have always had a ton of respect for him, and I know people give him shit for being hurt so much, but like, you know, sometimes you get hurt because you're trying so hard.
Right.
And the guy played his ass off, and he won a championship. And he dominated, and he was part of the reason why they won a championship. So I give hats off.
Big yeah, man.
That's career.
Well, big dude, time. Also, you know, World Series MVP when they won it in 19, you know, was when he was healthy, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. Signed that big contract and then really never pitched again. So I think it was 200 mil. Insurance probably paid for it. But, you know, great career, man. I think the expectations were so high, Chinch, on Strasburg when he first came out, just like you said. And, you know, I think we thought we might see, you know, a greater career as far as a body of work. But what we did see was when he was healthy, we did see greatness. You know, we did see one of the best pitchers in the game with some of the best stuff. And the bottom line is he stayed healthy when he needed to in that 2019 run when they won the whole thing. So hats off to Steven Strasburg, man. Congratulations on an incredible career.
Yeah, I agree. Can I give a comp? Can I give a professional comp? What Don Mattingly was as an offensive player is what Steven Strasburg was as a pitcher, meaning at their best, I think they were both the best in the game when they were healthy and doing it. And then, you know, listen, they just both got beat up. Don Mattingly, his back hurt. If Don Mattingly's back didn't hurt.
Yeah, I think Mattingly, the one difference there is I think Mattingly's still a Hall of Famer. Donnie Baseball was the best player in baseball for, I don't think Strasburg's a Hall of Famer, but Donnie Baseball's a Hall of Famer, dude. I still think he was, although it was 5-6 year period where he was no doubt the greatest player in the game, greatest hitter in the game. I think he did enough in his body of work. Hopefully at some point to maybe get in the Hall of Fame.
I like that argument. You totally got me down, and you're absolutely right about it.
No, I didn't shut you down. I let you down easy. In my opinion.
I'm saying it wasn't a shutdown. I'm saying, like, you are absolutely correct. Like, I agree with you. A shutdown, that wasn't a shutdown. We don't fight. We don't know. When you say
we're brothers, we hug.
Yeah, we're brothers. I'm not saying you shut me down. I'm saying, you know what? And the more that I think about your answer was better. Maybe he was. I don't even have a comp then after
that. Yeah, no, there's definitely some comps out there.
I mean, like, he just.
Listen. What about Darren Dreyfurt?
Ooh, that's a good one.
I mean, he had some great years, didn't he? I might be wrong there. I know Darren Dreyfurt was hurt a lot, but I know when he was.
Oh yeah, great.
When he was on.
Yeah, no, that's interesting.
I don't know why that name popped into my head, so I just said it. Darren Dreyfurt.
No, because that's who we grew up watching, guys like
yeah.
that. Yeah, I don't even know who else would be a great comp for him. I don't know. Here, this is a problem, dude. Listen, ACL or anything, or what do you call it? Tommy John surgery, man. Like you just.
And then he had that, like, what was it? He had like the blood clot in his shoulder that.
Yeah. It's like the same kind of stuff, man. Like these guys, you got to think this day and age, they work out harder. They work out different. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
You always say, everybody always says from your generation, you can't pull fat.
Yeah.
Maybe guys were too jacked up in his generation. That's why they're all
getting. Dude, what I don't think we touched on this, Chinch. What do you think of the guys that, you know, that you had Shane Bieber just blew out his UCL, Spencer Strider, UCL, and then there was somebody else too.
Yankees, what's his name? One of the Yankees guys just went down. Anyway, so what's your...
Oh, yeah, Loaizaga. Jonathan Loaizaga. Yeah. And I heard Ron Darling say something on the Mets broadcast that I thought was great. You know, he's just saying the demand to throw harder. Guys get paid now. If you're throwing 95 to 100, you get paid. So it's not like, you know, it's just the demand to crow hop, throw as hard as you can into the radar gun, see if you can get at 100 miles an hour. You know, that's the big thing now. So, like, I disagree with the players union saying that was the pitch clock. Come on. I don't think it's that. It's the first time ever we have all these guys throwing weighted balls at an earlier age, trying to throw as hard as they can, going to drive line, all that kind of stuff, which I think is great because it actually is working, but it's also guys are getting hurt way more now, and younger kids are getting way hurt. And if you haven't seen the episode with Dr. Kremchek that we had on, you know, a couple of weeks ago, one of the best Tommy John surgeons in the country, so many players go to him. He's done thousands and thousands and thousands of them. He was saying that, you know, he's seeing more and more kids that are 12, 13, 14 years old because kids are trying to throw harder, trying to light up the radar guns, wanting to spin the ball a little bit more, a little earlier age. And it's you know, I think there's a stat too, Chinch, that like 6 years, what did Kremchek say? He said, you do get a Tommy John, you got about 6 years.
Right.
6 years on that arm.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. I actually like retweeted today the Kremshaw interview with us, and you know, I retweeted just like a little clip of it with the link to it, and he came on our air and he said, between yesterday and today, I have seen 17 high school and college people for Tommy John surgeries to give him consultations on him, and that was between yesterday and we recorded with him in the morning. Wow. So 17 kids in basically a day. And you're right, dude. I'm glad you brought that up because, I mean, it just stinks. I do agree with you. Like the pitch clock, like everybody's trying to throw 1,000 miles per hour. So right. I honestly, I don't think what we can say can even do justice to, please go back and watch that interview we did with Dr. Kremchek. And I brought it again. I spouted it out on social media today. Be like, hey, I know this is a big story today. Listen to what this guy's saying right now, because he's one of the best in the world at doing it. But like, I kind of agree. Like the pitch clock, I don't know. Why is the pitch clock have any, I don't know. What you get a longer time for your arm?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't make sense. The pitch clock thing doesn't make sense. I think the union are just battling
a little, and this was just something to battle about.
Yeah, looking for something.
Yeah, they're not. I don't know. We'll see how that progresses, because it looks like the union and the league are kind of just starting to like get chippy with each other a little bit right now, and maybe this was just like a thing to be chippy about, because I'm telling you right now, I haven't played in a very long time. I've never seen 100 mile per hour fastball, and you probably maybe only saw it about 10 times, and now every single person in the league is throwing 100 miles per hour.
Yeah, that's not true, though, either, Chinch.
What?
There's more 100-mile-an-hour pitchers, but there's a lot. There's still a lot of pitchers out there that are mid-90s, low-90s.
Yeah. And
I understand what you're saying. More guys are throwing 100, no doubt about it, and all over the place in college.
No, there's
more guys, but there's still a lot of guys. You don't have to throw 100 miles an hour to be a big league pitcher.
No, I love it. Really, when I see a guy throwing like 92, I'm like, yeah, let's go. I want to see a pitcher right now. Can't wait to see this pitcher pitch right now.
Right. Because if you're seeing like a Chris Bassett, you're seeing 92, 93, you're going to see a pitcher, because no way they can live up there without being able to move it, cut it, sink it, you know, have something, a little change up, curveball.
There was nothing more fun than watching. I'm sure you hated facing him, but I loved watching Jamie Moyer pitch, man.
Bro, I faced Jamie Moyer when he was like 50 years old. I swear he was 49. I'm not kidding. He was my age, I think. I can't. Dude, I think it was Philly. He was in Philadelphia. I went 1-for-4 off him with a line drive out the middle, and I think I was 0-for-3 in my first three at-bats. Bro, he was throwing 78-mile-an-hour fastballs with a 68-mile-an-hour changeup, and it made his fastball look so – his changeup was so nasty. That's the reason he pitched till he was 49, dude. It's incredible.
Go back to that game when Pedro Martinez was pretty much done, and he pitched one of the greatest games of his career with the Phillies – throwing like 88, 91, 92, and he's just flipping shit all over the place. I always loved it. I really did appreciate those guys, because I'm like, oh, maybe, you know what? Maybe I could have been like that one day, you know? Like,
right.
It's easier. It's more relatable to see the guy.
Exactly. Yeah, it is more relatable.
17 miles per hour, you know? It's true. Anyway. All right. Well, good stuff. Good start to the week, man.
Great, man. Yeah.
By the way, if you guys, especially here locally in New York, Sean Casey's got a good, new little gig. He's doing a little Yankee stuff with the WB here locally in New York.
WPIX, right?
WPIX, yeah. Oh, sorry, yeah. WB, WPIX, they cross over.
Same thing.
Yeah, technically, yes. Channel 11 in New York. That's all.
Channel 11.
Yeah, explain what you're doing over
there. Yeah, a little Sunday nights. Every Sunday night I'll be doing the Yankee Report. For Yankee Nation Report, I believe. And it was great, man. Really enjoyed it. Dude, just getting to know all those guys last year, you know, obviously as the Yankees hitting coach, I'm watching more Yankee games than I've ever watched, because I just love those dudes, man. I love those guys in that lineup, the guys in the locker room. Like, I'm just pulling for them. So, you know, it's nice to go on air and be able to talk about them, because, like I said, I'm, you know, I feel like a fan, but I'm invested more than I ever have been, because – those guys in that clubhouse, and Booney being the managers, is awesome.
Oh, wait, real quick. How much I will back this up by a text message I got from Sean Casey today going, did you see that Rizzo at bat today? Rizzo at bat. Say that real quick. Explain that.
Oh, great Rizzo at bat, dude.
For the walk before.
Yeah, worked the count, choked it up. A great at bat. And then all of a sudden Stan comes up and grand salami. Here we go. And don't forget, Volpe, three more hits.
There you go.
Oswaldo Cabrera, Cabby, another bullet to left for a ribby. Let's go.
This is all the more reason why you need to like and subscribe to the YouTube page of the mayor's office, because Sean Casey, Yankees legend, has an autographed jersey ready for you as soon as we get to 4,000 followers. We got a big peak, guys, fans. You did real good. You tapered off.
Yes. We need it, guys. We're getting the 4,000 subscribers on YouTube. Bam. We're going to pick some lucky fan for a Yankee signed jersey by me. And then as soon as we get that out of the way, we're going to go to 5,000-6,000. And we'll just keep dishing out autographed items. We want to give away here at the mayor's office. We're of the people. We're like The Rock, the people's champion. We're here for the people. We want to dish out things to you guys. We love you guys. We're appreciative of you guys listening. Chris McNamara, I know you're out there listening, brother. I know you're listening right now. Fixing houses.
There you go. All right. Have a great day today. It's a good start to the week for us, bro. Let's go.
Sounds good, brother. I'll see you tomorrow. Right. See you, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Love you.